Ali Bradley is in Del Rio, Mexico, the News Nation's Southwest correspondent. Ali, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We're doing fine, although some folks awoke this morning to news that 60 people from Venezuela through Mexico largely have arrived in Chicago as a sanctuary city. Governor Abbott has sent them here. Whatever his motivation is, we now have to figure out what the status of these people is, where they've come from, and what should happen to them. What should our audience know from you, Ali?
Well, right now what I can tell you is I've spoken directly with Governor Greg Abbott's office about this situation, and there are actually two buses that arrived in Chicago with more than 95 migrants. So the mayor's information about, you know, approximately 60 migrants is a little bit off from what the governor is saying. So definitely something that we've got to, you know, investigate a little bit further. But as far as the people that are entering into Chicago right now and into your area, they have already been processed by Border Patrol. They're in our country legally right now. They have their kind of reporting instructions now. So from here, they will report to an immigration office. When that is kind of up to their process of whatever Border Patrol instructed them to do. And so right now what the mayor is saying is they're going to work with community partners and they're going to find resources in order to adequately respond to this kind of surge in immigration into Chicago.
Do we know their criminal status? Are any of them the equivalent of felons? Do we know that these are people who... I'm recollecting what Donald Trump said when he first ran for office. What is their legal status relative to that sort of thing?
Well, so it depends, because if they are felons, sometimes we don't have access to other countries' criminal databases. So they have to be flagged in the United States for a crime, and that is often done through ICE. So it depends on what their process was. Now, they're not supposed to be released if they say they, you know, have murder charges or things like that. Now, they could have criminal records, though. I mean, ICE puts out some information that there's about 34% of their people that are in detention have a criminal record, have a felonious charge. So there absolutely could be some people, but the majority of them are likely family units or people that have no criminal history as far as Border Patrol was able to find.
And you said they were processed legally. Can you tell us about their health standards? Have they been vaccinated? Do we know anything about shots and disease and that sort of thing?
So that is not something that Border Patrol does. That is not something that is going on through the processing. When we were at the height of COVID, they were doing some vaccinations, but now they are not doing any kind of vaccinations or anything like that. As far as testing goes, I honestly can't speak to that because, again, since we aren't in the height of COVID anymore, they aren't really disclosing a lot of information about what their status would be on vaccines. But that isn't a requirement for them to be here. They don't check their vaccination statuses on any other kind of diseases or anything like that.
You said they're here legally. Is that as asylum seekers?
Right now, so what Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says is that just being here in the United States, crossing into the country illegally, is not grounds for deportation. So they are giving every single person, basically, a chance to claim asylum. So if they come across the border and they tell Border Patrol they're seeking asylum, they then enter into what they call removal proceedings. But those removal proceedings can take up to 2 to 5 years. So they might not have a court date for 2 years. It just depends on their situation. Again, some of them are just given reporting instructions. They're not even given a court date. So when I say they're here legally, they have been processed by Border Patrol and released by a federal entity that they are able to be here while they go through their proceedings seeking asylum.
So then how and where will they be housed? Who pays for all of this?
It just falls on the taxpayers, depending on where they are, because the NGOs, which are the non-government organizations, do help substantially. Those are reimbursed through FEMA. So that is the federal, obviously, the reimbursement that all American taxpayers kind of bear the burden of. However, if they're going to be in Chicago or they're going to be in New York or Washington, D.C., and they're taking up space in shelters or they're being housed in hotels or things like that, that is going to fall on local municipalities and those local entities to front that bill. That is not going to fall on the federal government. As we know, we've seen the mayors in both D.C. and New York reach out to the Biden administration asking them for help, and the Biden administration has refused that assistance. So right now it is falling on the communities where they're ending up in.
And can you tell us about the motivation of Governor Abbott? It sounds like a political move. he's treating these people as pawns. I also understand how he feels it's unfair for his state and maybe a couple of others to have to bear the burden of a federal policy. But just tell us a little bit about his shipping these people off.
Mm-hmm. So what he says is he's going to continue to bus migrants until the Biden administration secures the border. For nearly 2 years now, these smaller communities have been under that weight of the influx of illegal immigration. And so what the governor's doing is moving people from these smaller communities into the interior, and he's moving them specifically to these sanctuary cities because they say that they can handle, you know, having... They're welcoming. They're going to allow people to be there. That's his claim. So he's moving these people to these cities. It does obviously look like a political move. I will say this, though, when it comes to people being bused into the interior of our country, that's been happening for the last 2 years. NGOs across the southern border have been sending people via Greyhound. At the NGO here in Del Rio, where I'm at, they actually have been sending 2 Greyhound buses a day into the interior, into San Antonio. And from San Antonio, they'll take a plane to wherever they're going. So people have been being flown and bused into the interior for years now. It's just the political side of it is you have a Republican governor busing them into cities with very Democratic mayors and governors as well. So that's where you see that political shift, obviously, and that divide. But it is also election year. And so, you know, you look at, do people favor this? Are people frustrated about this? Because it is Texas taxpayers' dollars. This is costing more than $12 million to send 9,400 migrants, which breaks down to about $1,300 a bus ticket, right? So a lot of taxpayers here in Texas are very frustrated because they're saying we're spending money moving them into the interior of the United States, giving them a free bus ticket. So they would rather see the money spent elsewhere. Now, there are some people, though, that say at least the governor is doing something when the Biden administration isn't really doing much at all to secure the border.
I presume this is being well received in Texas?
It's kind of a mixed bag. But that's what I was saying, is some people do believe that the governor is doing something, which is better than nothing. But again, some would rather have their taxpayer dollars spent on another way to secure the border. Maybe that's finishing the wall, or maybe that's putting out more shipping containers and things like that. People have expressed to me some of those frustrations that busing migrants into the interior of the United States isn't necessarily the best use of their money.
Ali Bradley, the News Nation Southwest correspondent in Mexico this morning. Can you tell me a story about one of these families or a typical example of who these people are?
Yeah, you know, what's really unfortunate here is we have a lot of people that are legitimate asylum seekers, people that have terrible stories that you hear about. I just met a woman up at the border not too long ago, about 3 weeks ago now, and she was up in Yuma, and she had been separated from her baby and her husband when they were over in Mexico, and she was actually raped by several men in Mexico, separated again from her husband and her baby. And when she got over here, she couldn't find them. And Border Patrol even had a hard time reconnecting her with her husband and her child. And they even called me, asking me to be her sponsor. And so there are people here that are suffering a great deal, that have every right to claim asylum, that have every right to go through this process, but they are being lumped into, you know, a political battle, an ongoing political football. You know, you said these people are being used as pawns. This isn't really new. This has been a political football for 40 years that people have been used in political, you know, grandstanding for 40 years. And so right now we're just seeing it on a different scale. We're seeing it in the public eye because they're in these major cities. But again, you have these legitimate asylum seekers lumped into a really big mess, frankly.
In Mexico this morning, Ali Bradley, the News Nation Southwest correspondent, reporting from Del Rio.